Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of The Shakedown. I'm your host, Warden Aaron Dawson. Glad to be with you yet one more time. Looking forward to being with you each week, but especially this week as we wrap up our talk about communication. We talked about a couple weeks ago the definition of communication. We talked about how we communicate and how important it is, not just the words that we speak, but that tone of voice and that facial expression, that body language. We spent last week talking about the importance of when we communicate, observing, listening, and learning, using those observation skills that we use every day as corrections officers, using those observation skills to help us guide our communication. The last thing I want us to cover as we talk about communication, guys, let me preface it by saying this. I realize that this is a very, and we talked about it being communication basics, that this is a very basic look at communication, that there's a world of things that we could talk about or look at. But I want to challenge you and encourage you to do some digging on your own. There are some great resources out there that can help you with your communication, your communication skills. There's some great resources out there that will help in your thought process, especially if you're one of those people that you struggle to communicate with other people. And that's something that maybe it's difficult for you. You're not gifted in it. You're not naturally skilled in it. Or quite frankly, it might scare you absolutely to death. But if that's the case, there's resources out there. Go dig them up. Go look for them, whether it be a book or whether it be a website, whether it be a podcast, whatever the case may be. The resources there. So let this just whet your appetite, if you will, to sharpen your communication skills. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. Today I want us to talk about what it is that we communicate, what is in our communication, and the words that we speak. What are we communicating with the individual that we're in conversation with, or individuals that we're communicating with in whatever the setting. And there's eight things that I want to mention and I want us to think about today as a part of our communication. And I'm not speaking necessarily about the specific words as much as the big picture, the overall picture, what it is that we're communicating. And the first one is in our tone of voice, we need to make sure that we are communicating gentleness. Now, I understand there are times where it's time to get loud. It's time to convey force. It's time to convey that I'm not messing around, that you are going to do what I tell you to do, and you're going to do it now. Those of you that are parents, that's your mom or that's your daddy voice that you go to, that, you know, the because I said so voice. But anyway, there are times where that's what we're trying to communicate. That's what we're trying to convey specific to that setting. But in our normal everyday life, in our normal everyday interaction with other people, we need to convey a gentleness. And I'm not talking about a weakness. I'm not talking about I'm just a wimp that's over here waiting for you to run over me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a calm and caring control. There's a confidence that comes with being a gentle person. There's a confidence that, you know what, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what the circumstances, it doesn't matter what breaks off, everything's going to be fine. We got this. We're in control. And guys, we need to be in control. And again, I'm not talking about the extreme circumstances. I'm talking about just normal everyday life. We need to be in control, and we need to convey that control. We can't allow ourselves on a regular basis to get carried away with emotion. Man, this bad thing happened, or this difficult thing happened, or this thing happened that wasn't on the schedule. And we flip out. And all our communication is conveying is the emotion behind that. Well, if we are getting carried away, we need to dial us back as soon as possible. Gentleness, calm and caring control. We are in control of what's going on. So gentleness. Second thing we talk about, what we communicate, is every conversation is an opportunity to either impart knowledge or to receive knowledge or both. And are we conversing with someone? When we are conversing with someone, when we are conversing with someone, are we conversing with them in a way that says, you know what, I am looking for that interaction? Again, there's going to be those circumstances. There's going to be those exceptions where, no, you are going to do what I told you to do. Here's what you're going to do. It's going to look just like A, B, C, D, whatever the case may be. Well, again, that's an opportunity to impart knowledge. But every situation, every question, or every conversation, is an opportunity to impart knowledge and receive knowledge. The question is, are we open to receiving knowledge? Talking about when we communicate last week, observing, listening, learning. Are we open to being informed? We're having a conversation with somebody and they disagree with us, or we disagree with them, or both. Are we open to hearing what it is that they have to say? Are we willing to present what it is that we want to say in a manner that's not condescending, that's not judgmental, that's not, you know, making them feel like they're trivialized, or that, you know, they're a moron because they don't see it the way we do? So, gentleness, instruction. Third thing we want to make sure we talk about when we talk about what is in our communication. Our communication should convey that we genuinely care. Guys, I am concerned about people that want to have a career in law enforcement, want to have a career in corrections, but they don't like people. They just don't like people. They don't want to be around people. They don't want to talk to people. They can't stand people. What are you doing in the field of corrections? What are you doing in the field of law enforcement? You are going to be miserable, and odds are, if you stay in it, not only are you going to be miserable, but you're going to spend a whole lot of time trying to make me miserable, and I don't want that. So the next thing we talk about as a part of our communication is that we need to convey that we care genuinely, because here's why. If we convey that we care to other people, that's going to engender trust from them towards us. If they trust us, they'll communicate with us. Now, there are going to be times when there may be people that will try to take advantage and will try to sell us, you know, the proverbial bill of goods. Yeah, absolutely. Are there going to be people that lie to us? Yeah, most definitely. Are there going to be people that talk down to us, that see that that we care as a sign of weakness? Yes, that's going to happen. But effective communication relies upon trust. I'm not going to trust you. You're not going to trust me if either one of us doubts that the other one cares. So we need to demonstrate in our communication that we genuinely care. Now, you may be ticking me off. I mean, I may want to wring your neck. You know, not really, just, you know, joking around. Anyway, I may be so angry at you, but I can still care about you. And I need to convey that in my communication. Next thing. When we communicate, when we're involved in a conversation, we're involved in a communication, our presence, our communication should bring peace to the environment. We, you know, there are some personalities, they have a greater tendency towards, shall we say, emotionally engaging in interpersonal interactions. I mean, you can tell these people because everything is a big deal. I mean, you know, they had to wait an extra 15 seconds in the drive-through line. Oh my goodness, can you believe they made me wait? I mean, you know, I came to work and I wanted to work at this post, but the supervisor said, no, today I'm going to have you work over there. Can you believe what they... Everything is a big deal to these people. Well, those people are more than likely shall we say, not the happiest people on the planet. Our communication, our presence needs to bring a calmness and a peace to the conversation. Anger is a natural emotion that is naturally going to happen, and it's acceptable to have. There are times where we need to be angry. You know, it's an emotion that lets us know, hey, something's wrong and you need to do something about it. So anger's okay in of itself, and it's okay to have anger at times. But I cannot allow that anger to motivate me to lash out in an uncontrolled or an eventual manner. My conversation, my presence needs to bring a sense of peace. And if I can't do that, if I am in a position where I'm unable to do that, I need to separate myself from the situation until I'm able to do that. So, words of peace. Next thing. Our communication, our interaction with other people should set them at ease to communicate with us. We need to project, if you will, that we want to hear what they have to say. We need to project a willingness. We need to project an openness that we want to hear what it is that they have to say. Perfect example of this. In this technological age, it is promoted that multitasking is a skill that is commendable and that everybody needs to have. Well, unfortunately, that mindset has ingrained so many people that they feel like it is perfectly acceptable to sit there and communicate, have a conversation with someone with some technological device in their hand, a tablet, a phone, or whatever, and you're having a conversation with them one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, if you will, and while you're conversing, they've got their eyeballs down on their phone and they're texting and they're scrolling and they're doing whatever. They are not communicating that they want to hear what we have to say. They're not communicating a willingness and an openness to communicate. What they're really communicating, or heaven forbid that's us, what we are really communicating is that you are a distraction. You are keeping me from doing whatever it is that I really want to do on this device. Often, if my family and I, we're out eating somewhere and I'll joke about it when I see it happen, but you see the couple come in and you can tell it's date night. And so the couple comes in and they get seated, and they sit down, and both of them, as soon as they sit down, both of them pull out a phone and, they're texting, they're scrolling, they're social media, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're whatever the case may be. And unless they're texting each other, they are wasting that opportunity, and whether they realize it or not, they are both communicating to each other. Okay, I'm here with you. I'm going to sit at this table and eat with you, but I have zero desire to communicate with you. So our communication needs to project that we want to hear what they have to say. We have a willingness. We have an openness to hearing what it is that they have to say. The next thing is, we talked a little bit about this, and we talked about observing and listening. But we need to make sure that we say what we need to say when we need to say it. We need to look, and we need to learn, if you will, to recognize key moments and speak fitting words. Now, there are times where it's just normal everyday conversation. We're just shooting the bull. Okay, fine. But there are times when we're interacting with somebody and I recognize they're dealing with something, they're going through something, they're struggling with something, they have a question, they have a frustration, whatever the case may be, and I can have an opportunity to speak the right words at the right time that will help them get through whatever it is or understand whatever it is or helps them in some way. That goes back to, if I'm not observing, if I'm not listening, if I'm not learning, I'm going to miss that opportunity. If I don't care, if I'm not willing, I'm going to miss that opportunity. So when the opportunity presents itself and it's an opportunity for you or I to speak the right words at the right time, we need to take advantage of that. And then the seventh one is our conversation, as much as possible, needs to be pleasant. Question for you. How often do you smile when you communicate? How often do you smile? Now, I know there's some of you that it would cause great and excruciating pain for you to crack a smile. I know it's not natural. It's like you were born with your face frozen in a perpetual frown, and that is just the way it is. But you know what? If I'm communicating with you, if I'm having a conversation with you, and as we're conversing, I'm smiling, I have a pleasant facial expression, that's going to cause you to relax. That's going to cause you psychologically, whether you realize it or not, to want to trust me because I look relaxed and I'm present and I'm smiling. You know, when I started in corrections, you know, I had a routine. You know, when I would go into a housing and do a head count at the beginning of shift, you know, I'd walk through the door and I'd announce, you know, I'd holler, you know, head count, everybody at your doors, head count. And once everybody got through the doors, I'd say, man, I appreciate that, gentlemen. All right, let's get through this head count. You know, and I'd call the name and I'd look at the inmate. All right, there he is. And then good evening, sir. And go through this every night, every shift. That was my routine. Never thought about it. Well, we had a situation. Had a situation that unfolded. And it got pretty ugly pretty quick. And I came in and to the situation and kind of assessed real quickly what was going on. And I was given verbal commands. And there were other officers that had been in there that had given verbal commands. But, you know, they weren't being effective. And I come in and I gave verbal commands and the inmates, they began to do what I asked them to do. And afterwards, one of the inmates came to me and he said, Dawson, he said, you want to know why we stopped what we were doing when you come in? No, I have no idea. He said, it's because you smile. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, every time you come in here on a normal basis, you smile, you look us in the eye, and he said, we trust you. These other guys, they're a jerk every time we talk to them, so when they come in hollering and screaming, what do I care? I ain't listening to them. All because of a smile. And I'm not saying that you need to be more like Warden Dawson, but what I am saying is smiling helps. Last thing. It appears to be that as human beings, we tend to have a proclivity towards the negative. I mean, have you ever walked up or had someone walk up to you, hey, man, did you hear the good news that so-and-so told so-and-so that told so-and-so? Man, let me tell you the good news. No, most of the time, if that conversation happens, it's because there's some rumors, there's some gossip, there's some bad news. Pessimism always seems so much easier to spread than a positive attitude. If we focus on a negative and our conversation is focused on the negative, can you guess how most of our communication is going to go? It's going to be negative. Even in times when we're struggling, when a mistake is made, in our communication, we need to try to find the positive. We need to try to find the positive. So guys, what does our communication consist of? What does our communication consist of? Those 8 things. Well, guys, I hope that they, nothing else that made you think about, you know, the way we communicate, whether it be verbally or non-verbally. But like I said, I encourage you, keep digging, keep growing. Guys, look forward to being with you next week. But in the meantime, as always, stay sharp, stay safe, stay vigilant. Godspeed. Appreciate it, guys.